So today is the disappearance day of His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada Thakura Ki Jai. So generally speaking, on appearance days and disappearance days, we say something about the Acharya. Prabhupada didn't. Only one time I was in Boston in 1969 on this disappearance day occasion, and Prabhupada spent the whole lecture talking about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. Unfortunately, it wasn't recorded. In any case, Prabhupada rarely extensively talked about the Acharyas on their appearance or disappearance days, except for the fact that the Acharyas, as it says by Bhaktivinoda Thakura, that he reasons ill who thinks that Vaishnavas die, for thou art living still and sound, that Vaishnavas die to live, and living spread the holy name around. That no one actually dies, because the soul is eternal, so what to speak of the Acharyas? The example is given, the sun at a certain time rises, and we can see it. And at another time, it sets and we can't see it. Previously, the Aborigine people used to think that the sun has been born, and now the sun has died in the evening. But actually, the sun is always there, but sometimes we can see it and sometimes we can't. Similarly, the Acharyas exist eternally, just as we're all eternal. But sometimes they make their appearance to our vision, and sometimes they disappear. But for the Acharyas, for those who are engaged in serving them through their instructions, the Acharyas exist in the form of sound. They exist in their sound vibration. So especially the Acharyas, our immediate Acharyas, especially those who are giving us the instructions of how to spread the Sankirtan movement, they still guide us personally through their instructions. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura, he specifically wanted to revive the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At some time after the disappearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Acharyas, for the most part, the Sankirtan movement practically disappeared. There were some Acharyas, but mostly they were living in a very secluded place. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan, Narottam Das Thakur. But even within India, there was a whole growth of a movement called the Sahajiyas, the Owls, the Bowls, the Kartavakis, the Sakibakis, the Gauranga Nagaris, the Ativeshas. Basically, they had taken the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and distorted it. And therefore, people in general in India, because the outside of India it wasn't known, they took the Vaishnavas as a kind of a sect, a deviant sect. They didn't take it very seriously. Most of the people in India thought that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if they knew of him at all, was just some devotee of Krishna. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, he tried to revive the movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At the time when he became a devotee, Bhaktivinoda Thakura, of course, he is eternally a devotee, but when he manifests himself as a devotee, he was looking for a Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he couldn't even find one in India. he couldn't even find a copy of it. But somehow or another, he got a copy, and he started to expand the Sankirtan movement through the process of Namhata. And he saw that without the considering the aid of Kali, how degraded it is, that unless there was an acharya, someone, a great devotee. Of course, many of Bhaktivinoda Thakura's children were devotees, of some of them of some great stature, but still he didn't see anyone who's qualified to carry on the movement after his disappearance. So he prayed that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would send him a great devotee from his associates to help him carry on the movement. So it is said that Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupāda was born, and they took it as an indication that he was born with his umbilical cord around his neck like a sacred thread. I guess they took that as a sign. Of course, other signs were there after he was born. Then the Jagannath, because they were living in Jagannath Puri at that time. So the Jagannath cart during the Rath Yatra would come by Bhaktivinoda Thakura's house. Bhaktivinoda Thakura was the magistrate at that time, and the magistrate was something like the mayor. He was in charge of overseeing some part of the Jagannath Puri temple. And therefore, it's the Jagannath cart stopped by his house, and his wife took little Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, Bimala Prasad, took him in front of the Jagannath deity, because she was allowed, because she was the magistrate's wife. And at that time, a garland fell from the Lord Jagannath over the little child, which is considered quite nice. Later on, one time when he was a small child, 3-4 years old, he ate one mango. So his father mildly chastised him because the mango wasn't offered to Krishna and said, this is not proper, you should only eat things offered to Krishna. So for the rest of his life, whenever he was offered some green mango, the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada would refuse it, say, I can't eat this, I'm an offender. So he was quite a strict brahmachari throughout his whole life. In the beginning, when they asked him to get married, or to actually get an education, because he was a scholar, but they wanted to get, he said, no, if I get an education, then they'll expect me to get married. So he didn't want to get married. So he refused to get an formal education. In any case, there's a story of his taking initiation. Well, his father gave him initiation to some mantras, like for the mantras for Korma mantra. But as far as formally accepting Harinam mantra, there's the story of his accepting it from Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji, who was a supposedly illiterate, which means that, but he was actually, he had full realization of Krishna consciousness, which you can't be illiterate if you know everything perfectly. In any case, externally he appeared to be illiterate because he didn't have a formal education in terms of signing his name and things like that in the Sanskrit language. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakura, Gaurakishore Das Babaji, a Paramahansa, was more or less taking shelter of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura, So when it was time for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada to get initiation, formal initiation, then Bhaktivinoda Thakura said you should take it from Gorkhasura Das Babaji. So as the story goes, and there's always many stories, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, he went to Gorkhasura Das Babaji and asked him for initiation. So Gorkhasura Das Babaji said, I can't give you initiation. I have to ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first. He said, come back. So some weeks later, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada came back and asked him again, what did Mahaprabhu said? And Gorkhasura Das Babaji said, well, I forgot to ask him. Come back later. So he went back to his father and said, well, Gorkhasura Das Babaji told me that he forgot to ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Bhaktivinoda Thakura said, no, you go back and ask him again. So he went back and asked him. And Gorkhasura Das Babaji said, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, I shouldn't initiate you. He said, you're a great scholar and I'm just an illiterate person. How can I initiate such a personality like you? So Bhaktivinoda went back to his father and he said, go back and ask him again. So he went back to Gorkhasura Das Babaji and said, if you don't initiate me, I'm going to throw myself over the bridge. So he said, all right, I'll initiate you. That's called determination. In any case, Gorkhasura Das Babaji did not have many disciples, and at his disappearance day, when he disappeared, he wrote a will and he said that the Vaishnavas should take my body and they should drag it through the streets of Navadvipa to show what happens with non-Vaishnava. So the Babajis at that time, they wanted to fulfill the desire of Gorkhasura Das Babaji, because they were not very advanced in Krishna consciousness, some of them. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, who was his disciple, said that actually I have the will of my spiritual master that you can't do this. So he said that, according to how the story goes, he said that if any one of you haven't had sex in the last year, you can take his body. Because their standard was, not that they had gross sex, but their standard was that even if you had subtle sex life, then that was considered sex life. So neither of them stepped forward. Then, of course, he went down from a year to 6 months to last month to last week, and none of them stepped forward. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada took charge of Gorkhasura Das Babaji, and he was put into samadhi. Because there are many other stories of how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, there was a controversy over who was superior, the Vaishnavas or the Brahmins. Bhaktivinoda Thakura is requested to represent the philosophy at a big meeting of scholars. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura requested his son, Bhaktisiddhanta, to go and represent the Vaishnavas. So there's a whole book on that, how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada presented, first he glorified the Brahmins, how great they are, and how they're the spiritual masters of the Vana and Ashrams, and then he proved by philosophy, by our scriptures, how superior to the Brahmins are the Vaishnavas. Now, Prabhupada writes sometimes about Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, because our whole movement is more or less based upon his vision of how to spread Krishna consciousness in the modern world. So this is from the Nectar of Devotion. Chapter 5, The Purity of Devotional Service. All the previous instructions imparted by Srila Rupa Goswami in this broad statement can be summarized thus. As long as one is materially inclined or desirous emerging into the spiritual effulgence, one cannot enter into the realm of pure devotional service. Next, Rupa Goswami states that devotional service is transcendental to all material considerations, is not limited to any particular country, class, society, or circumstance. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, devotional service is transcendental and has no cause. Devotional service is executed without any hope for gain and cannot be checked by any material circumstances. It is open for all without any distinction and is the constitutional occupation of the living entities. In the Middle Ages, after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya's great associate, Lord Nityananda, a class of priestly persons claimed to be the descendants of Nityananda, calling themselves the Goswami caste. They further claimed that the practice and spreading of devotional service belonged only to their particular class, which was known as Nityananda Vamsa. In this way, they exercised their artificial power for some time until Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the powerful acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, completely smashed their idea. There was a great struggle for some time, but it turned out successful, and is now currently and practically established that devotional service is not restricted to a particular class of men. Besides that, anyone who is engaged in devotional service is already of the status of being a high-class brahmana. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura's struggle for this movement has come out successful. It is on the basis of his position that anyone can now become a Gaudiya Vaishnava from any part of the world or any part of the universe. Anyone who is a pure Vaishnava is situated transcendentally and therefore the highest qualification in the material world, namely to be in the mode of goodness, has already been achieved by such a person. Our Krishna consciousness movement in the Western world is based on the above mentioned proposition of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada, our spiritual master. On his authority, we're reclaiming members from all sections of the Western countries. The so-called Brahmins claim that one who is not born into a Brahmana family cannot receive the sacred thread, cannot become a high-grade Vaishnava. But we do not accept such a theory because it is not supported by Rupa Goswami nor by the strength of the various scriptures. So in the bodily concept of life, one may think that unless one is born a Brahmin, then one cannot become a Brahmin, what to speak of a Vaishnava. So this was even when the devotees first went to India, although this was established by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, still there were some, first of all, in India, that when the devotees first went there, it was unheard of Westerners being Vaishnavas. It was quite unusual. Generally, the Indians were trying to become Westernized, and they still are. Even if you go to a place like Bombay, it's more Western than West. Everyone's wearing, all the advertisements are girls and boys wearing jeans. They look more like hippies than they do like Indians. But when the devotees first came, no one really took them seriously. They thought that actually they're just hippies imitating. There was even a movie, Take Another Puff.
Yeah,
they made it like the dum buddy rum dum dum. So they had it when in the early 70s or maybe 60s. They made a movie in India. In the movie, there were devotees, Western devotees, and they're all smoking marijuana. So they thought that all the devotees, they were just, and that became a very popular song. Dum rummy dum dum rum. Something about take another puff of another smoke of marijuana. And that became what the devotees were identified with, at least some places. Of course, we know that when the devotees came to Gujarat, for instance, then they were very well received. Thousands and thousands of people. For days and days, the devotees went through the Gujarat, Baroda, and what's the biggest city in the Gujarat? Baroda, and there's another one. Surat, yeah. And they did Harinam there for weeks at a time, with thousands of people coming out and offering them all garlands and all kinds of things. They had big pandals there. But I remember when we went to Vrindavan at the beginning, people did not really think that devotees were devotees. They kind of, some of the locals gave difficulty to the devotees at that time. Some people took them seriously and some didn't, depend. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada at his time, especially in places like Vrindavan or Navadvip, the Brahmins didn't like the fact that non-Brahmin, people were born in non-Brahmin families were given the sacred thread because it spoiled their business. They had a business of having disciples, giving them the sacred thread, and therefore, and when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada was giving it without having to pay for it to non-Brahmins, they became very disturbed to such an extent that they went to the head of the police and offered him a bribe to assassinate Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. It was quite controversial. The fact that he was giving the sacred thread to non-Brahmins. Or, actually, generally speaking, in the samskar of sacred thread, even the Vaishyas or the Kshatriyas or the Brahmins would receive the sacred thread. But he was giving it, giving Brahmin initiation to persons not born in Brahmin families. So luckily, the head of the police, he said, well, generally we take bribes for such things, because that's India. You don't get things done unless you give a bribe. Isn't that right? Bakshish. He said, but for saintly persons, I don't do that. In any case, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada went through on the Harinam down in Vrindavan, in Mathura, then there was conspiracy by the local Brahmins there that they were going to stone the Sankirtan party. They were going to try to kill Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, stoning him to death. But one of his disciples changed clothes with him to get Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada out of there. And the Sankirtan party went on. I think they did throw some rocks at them. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada wasn't harmed. So we're in Kali Yuga. In any case, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada initiated tens and thousands of disciples, opened, I forget how many temples in India. He sent his disciples overseas to establish Krishna consciousness. He was very interested in distributing Krishna consciousness in the Western world. He sent his disciples to England, and also they came to India, to Europe, and tried to establish Krishna consciousness. So But they were, generally speaking, they were not very much serious. Generally, they went to the higher class people in London and didn't do very much, didn't accomplish very much, but spent a lot of Lakshmi from the Gaudiya Math. They came back without accomplishing very much. Until Prabhupada, well, what happened is after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's disappearance, then we know that the Gaudiya Math split up. Everyone wanted to become an acharya. And therefore there was fighting more over the who would get the land, the properties of the Gaudiya Math, and who would preach. And we know that eventually Prabhupada took up the mission, came to the Western world, and established Krishna consciousness all around the world, based on the teachings of Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupada. Who he said, Prabhupada said that Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupada was always with me. In other words, he was always guided from within his heart by Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupada. So that's called the disciple succession. The formal initiation is only to assist that kind of relationship between guru and disciple, that the disciple succession exists by the acharyas living in the hearts of the successive acharyas. And with that potency, one can actually spread Krishna consciousness effectively. Therefore, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupāda is one of our, either our grandfather or our great-grandfather, and we honor him today because he lives in this movement, and through his disciple Śrīla Prabhupāda and the sincere followers of Śrīla Prabhupāda, he's effectively continually to spread the movement, the Sankirtan movement, by his conveying the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through the disciple succession. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments?
It is said that Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj started this organized mission, and there was also emphasis on distribution of book distribution. How they distributed, in which form, in the time of Bhaktisiddhānta, they held?
Well, I guess the same way the show probably did. They went somewhere and they offered people to take a book, and they got a donation for it.
Like in the street, or life member, or like... they have books printed? Or they
Yeah, they printed books, magazines. Of course. They had a printing press. They'd go out, just like Prabhupada would go out to the tea places and try to sell his magazine there, Back to Godhead. So they had their book stands, and they had book stalls, and they had, at the programs especially, they distributed books to try to sell them. Said that when a brahmachari would go out and distribute a few books, when he came back, Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Prabhupāda was very pleased, even if only a few books were distributed. I don't think they had a Sankirtan newsletter or anything like that. But if you go to the Gaudiya Math nowadays, they have so many books there. They're not exactly printed to the high standard that most, because our books are not always so high standard either, but compared to those, our books are quite high class. I have some of their books. One of the first books I purchased was the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, but they were kept in such bad condition that even I think I still have it. I don't think so. But they were eaten by the worms. They talk about bookworms. they were actually worms that eat books. So I guess they get transcendental benefit by eating transcendental books. So yeah, the book, you can see all the worms going through the book. The bookworms. Well, they had their festival, they had their dioramas, and they had their festivals, and they had, so I guess at those times, they also had book stands, because it's still quite common in the Gaudiya Math to have book stands.
They also did Harinams?
Yeah, of course.
Street.
Yeah, they did. Nagar. Yeah, they mostly with old ladies on the festival days. Before the festival days, even now they do that. They go, they have Naga Sankirtan, and all the old widows come out and they join. Especially in Navadvip. I don't know in Calcutta. Because when they first started to do, in most of the streets in Calcutta, the big cities, the devotees first went to go out and do Harinam there, except for like when they first went out in Surat or Gujarat. But in the other places, and people thought they were like these professional Sankirtan groups. Because there's a lot of professional Sankirtan groups, especially in Bengal, or even in the cities. And so people start to throw coins at them, because they thought they were a professional music group. So then Prabhupada stopped that. That's when they started the life membership program. Because people took it in the wrong way.
Still there? They are still rather doing other things than...
You mean the devotees? They do Rathyatras.
Rathyatras.
Yeah, a lot of Rathyatras. That's... But I don't... Generally speaking, the devotees don't go on Harinam like they do in the West. But book distribution is there. Train stations. Anything else? Kala Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Mahatirabhava Kijaya.